Classic Retirement.
Well, the principal officer of the Government Employees Pension Fund, Abel Sotoli, says that he wants to diversify the 2 trillion rands of government employee pensions under management offshore. Currently, only around 10% of its assets are offshore. It's well below the Regulation 28 ceiling, making it one of the most concentrated funds of its size anywhere on earth. And it also makes for an interesting juxtaposition against the fact that the ANC is looking at this possibility of using private and public pension funds to rescue the country's struggling state-owned enterprises. We saw in an interview with the Sunday Times, Enoch Godongwana, who's head of the party's Economic Transformation Subcommittee, saying that the asset management industry should be used rather than going to the IMF for a bailout. And we saw the president today struggling to give a direct answer on whether the ANC will prescribe assets or not. One man who certainly understands the world of debt and of state-owned enterprises better than most is Andrew Cantor. He's a chief investment officer of Future Growth Asset Management, who courageously stood up to the rot setting in at our SOEs a couple of years ago. And he's also subsequently commissioned a report into the systemic reasons behind the decline that we've seen in governance. Welcome to the Retirement Feature, Andrew.
Good evening.
The issue of prescribed assets is all very concerning. But firstly, just describe what prescribed assets are.
So the concept there is that somebody in government is going to come up with a list of what is deemed to be quote-unquote developmental investments, and they're going to the idea here is they will prescribe that, say, a number, say between 2.5% and 10% of every pension fund in the country will be required to invest in that list of prescribed assets. In short, they'll take away the freedom of choice of investors about how to deploy their pension fund assets.
And obviously that you're one of the top developmental investors in the country. It will almost support your book. What do you think of the idea of prescribed assets?
So look, it's based on it's a terrible idea. Headline, but it's based on very flawed premises. It's based on the flawed premise that, first of all, that pension funds do not invest in developmental investing, and they have to be compelled to do so. This is utter rubbish. The history of financing of development in this country is driven by the pension fund sector and the banking sector. Who do you think is holding all those SOE bonds at the moment? Where do you think the money ultimately came from to fund all the power programs that we're running, the wind and solar transactions, the water reticulation schemes, municipal finance, etc.? That's domestic money funding national development. So that's the first flawed presumption. The second flawed presumption is that the government could rationally decide what is developmental and what is not developmental better than the private sector could do so. The whole premise of prescription is flawed. By the way, the other key point is we don't have a shortage of money in this country. We have a shortage of good, bankable, appropriate, well-structured, sustainable investments. If the government, and they proved it, with the REIA program, the wind and solar transactions, they came up with a good program, ethically run, proper tender processes, and this country, the finance sector deployed over 200 billion rand across more than 80 transactions in 3 years. It's an extraordinary thing by global standards. So we don't have a money problem. We got lots of money for investments. What we have is a lack of delivery by the developmental agencies to bring good bankable deals to the table.
In fact, even the Chinese ambassador to South Africa said recently that the Chinese were growing impatient because they were wanting to see progress on the reform of Eskom, but B, they were willing to invest, they want to invest, but they just don't see, as you say, those bankable projects coming to market. Back to the prescribed assets issue, just how much could local pension fund members lose out if the government went ahead with a prescribed assets push?
Okay, so look, I've made it clear. I think it's a terrible idea, but I don't think we have to be scaremongering. I mean, if you said that the government is going to force money into unsustainable enterprises, and you could name some SOEs that currently are losing money, Eskom chiefly amongst them, it's not currently structured as a sustainable enterprise financially, so although it's fulfilling a developmental mandate, we hope. But if you put money into these unsustainable enterprises because you're forced to, does it mean you'll lose the money? Well, not necessarily, but it certainly means in aggregate that 5% say of your pension fund will earn returns lower than what it should have earned. And we all know that if you earn 1% less over a 20-year period, it adds up to a lot of money, right? So that's what you're talking about losing. It's unlikely that we're going to have pension funds get completely wiped out. You're going to be skimming off margins from large pots of money, which is, of course, is a classic way to basically steal money from people. And so that's probably the danger. I think the bigger issue here really is not just that, is that confidence. We have a very well-developed pension and savings and investment industry in this country. It's a free market, capitalist, and freedom of choice based and method where the savings of the nation go into the investments for the nation. And once you start messing with that, then individuals are going to stop saving for their retirement. They're going to say, well, the government's now made my pension fund an instrument of state policy, and therefore I'm going to stop saving. We're already seeing and hearing anecdotal stories of people who resign from their jobs so they can crystallize and take out their pension fund savings and then go find another job. This is a terrible outcome. This is messing with the goose that lays the golden egg, a South Africa savings rate.
Eating it up to its ovaries, as I like to say sometimes. Now, into the state-owned enterprise sectors, key actors that you held the debt in, you identified some broad categories for governance improvements. We're on this reform drive, this micro-reform drive. There's a growing impatience that we're not seeing enough reform fast enough. What would you like to see from Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan to shore up that confidence, to demonstrate to you that this reform process is being taken seriously and with the requisite urgency?
Okay, so I think in fairness, we have to not make throwaway statements that all the SOEs are badly run, badly governed, etc. We found in our research that several of the SOEs actually are very well run and very well governed, and remain so during the dark years. We've had, and I'm speaking specifically of Land Bank, DBSA, the Industrial Development Corporation, and obviously we found that others, which we weren't able to deeply engage with, were not being well run from a governance point of view. But the point is, this is what the private sector does do. We're supposed to be analyzing companies, both public and private, and assessing them on both financial metrics as well as how they govern themselves and how they run this sustainability, whether it's environmental sustainability or their impact on society. And that's what the market is supposed to do, to separate the wheat from the chaff, to charge a higher cost of capital, that is a higher interest rate, to those entities that have less sustainable models and encourage them to do it the right way. So sure, do we want all the SOEs to have reformed governance and improved governance? Well, yes, we do. And our job is to engage and analyze and give pointers to them. We will lend you more money if you do it this way.
And are you having engagements with Eskom in particular at this stage? Because that is really the heart and the epicenter of a lack of confidence in the ability of South Africa to turn the economy around.
We've had on and off conversation with Eskom for the last sort of 5 years, and that's a story that is very much in the public domain now. Eskom's challenges and the ideas around what to do about the Eskom challenge for the country are very much in the public domain. Do you break it up? Do you transfer the debt to the government balance sheet? Do you take the government employees' pension fund and force them to convert debt to equity? These ideas are all out the public domain, and I think none of us, it is such a complex sector, I don't think any of us have a real picture of how it's going to emerge.
Well, the big question is exactly that. How is it going to emerge? We're going to leave it there. Andrew Cantor, the Chief Investment Officer of Future Growth Asset Management, being unequivocal there about how terrible an idea prescribed assets would be in a capitalist system that allows free choice. We'd certainly love to hear your thoughts. It was a Q&A session in Parliament today that saw the President really skirting around the issue. Tweet us at Classic1027 or send us your Telegram on 0664701872. Katleho is standing by with your news.